Good morning. A very good Sunday morning to you. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope you'll become a regular listener each Sunday morning at this time as we give you the message of truth. We also encourage you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast on public access channel number 6 on your television entitled Searching the Scriptures. It airs from 8 to 8:30. Please give it a look. We'd also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all the copies of our radio broadcast there. You will also find copies of our TV program in case you miss one or there's technical difficulty and one does not air. All of them are on there. You can go down and download them and look at them at your leisure or restudy them. We also have many other Bible tools that will help you in your study of the Word of God. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given the meeting times for our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any of all of these services. We will always warmly receive you. It's our hope and our prayer that we can aid you and help you in giving you a better, firm understanding of the simplicity of the gospel, that not only that you might believe it, but most importantly, that you might obey it. We have been spending the last few months giving an overview of our Bible so we can become better acquainted with it and better understand it. We are in the New Testament, and now we're going to look at the book of Titus. Like Timothy, Titus was a young associate of Timothy. The passage which mentions Titus and provides what is known of his activities is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, also chapter 7, verse 6 and 13 and 14, chapter 8, verse 6, 16 and 23, and also in the book of Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. This letter was also written after Paul's first imprisonment in Rome. Titus was on the Mediterranean island of Crete, according to Titus 1 and verse 5. Paul might have been at a place called Nicopolis. Titus, in chapter 3 and verse 2, is called to come and see him there. In this letter, we learn Titus had to deal with some real difficult characters, according to verses 10 through 16. He was left in Crete to set things in order that were lacking, appointing elders in every one of the cities, according to Titus 1, verse 5. It tells of the importance of sound doctrine and the danger of those who distort the truth. It also gives some instruction in appointing elders and teaching the proper conduct, seems to be the main part of this short epistle. It is only 3 chapters long. We want to begin and look at verse number 1, where Paul again identifies himself as a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He says that he has a hope of eternal life with God, which God cannot lie, according to verse number 2. We also see, in beginning in verse number 7, we have the qualification for a bishop. This is a parallel passage to 1 Timothy chapter 3, where Paul wrote in Timothy about the qualifications of a bishop. And we see that a couple of things that we see here in verse 9, holding fast to the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Again, we see that an elder must be able to teach. He must be able to show the truth of God's word and be able to show those who teach things that are contrary to it. He must be able to show them the incorrect application that they're making with God's word. Again, in verse 10 through 16, Paul tells Titus that there is some deceitful workers that are doing a lot of harm and they must be dealt with. Let's read these verses, for I think they're important, these set of verses, in understanding the danger of false teachers. It says, for there are many insubordinate in verse 10, insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, which means the Jews, whose mouth must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things that they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. Notice, he tells them that they must stop their mouths of these false teachers because of the harm and danger they're doing to the Lord's church. And verse 16 of this chapter 1, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. There are many people today that claim to know God, claim to love God, claim to know his son, claim to love his son. Yet their works their works, they destroy them because they demonstrate a lack of faithfulness to God and a lack of doing the things that God would have them to do. Being disobedient to God's word makes us an unfaithful servant, makes us not profitable in what we do. If we're going to know God and we're not going to deny him, then we're going to have to do the things that he says and walk within the paths of the things that he has instructed us to do. We also see, beginning in verse chapter number 2, in the first verse, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in the faith, in love, and in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may admonish the young men, women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Notice in these first five verses of Titus chapter 2, he instructs the responsibility of the older to the younger. The older must instruct the younger, and the younger must be open and receptive to that teaching in order that they might live the kind of lives that would demonstrate godliness and would just demonstrate their Christianity, and they would help lead others to Christ. In verse number 7, they need to be a pattern of good works in doctrine and showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. Verse 8 says, "Sound speech, it cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Again, we see that the attitude is that we need to be a pattern of sound works. How are we a pattern of sound works or good works? By doing the things that are in accordance with the will of God. You have to know God's will. You can't be a pattern of good works, and you can't have sound speech if you're not fully engaged and understanding of the word of God, because that's where the pattern is given. We also see a very important passage, set of verses, beginning in verse 10, that I want to read through verse 14 and then give you some comments. It says, "Not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that we may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." Now I want you to notice that we are to adorn the doctrine of Christ. What's that mean? We can't adorn the doctrine of Christ. We can't wear it, and we can't exhibit it to others if we don't know what it is. In order for you to be able to adorn, or I, to adorn the doctrine of Christ, I've got to know what the doctrine of Christ is, and then I have to adorn it in the proper way that it has been given by God. We also understand that there's a lot of teaching done about grace. Indeed, no man can be saved without the grace of God, but many teach that grace is all that is needed and sufficient in order to give us salvation. But I want you to notice in verse 11 and 12, it says that the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us. It instructs us. What does grace instruct us? That we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. That's something we do. And that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's something you do. That's a continuing pattern of life. If we're going to be recipients of God's grace, and we're not going to receive that grace in vain, then we're going to deny ungodliness, we're going to deny unworldly lust, and we're going to live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present age. To do that, we are recipients, and we receive God's grace, and it's not in vain. To do counter to that, then we receive that grace in vain. We also have been redeemed. We've been bought back from sin. For what? We have been brought back to be his own special people and zealous for good works. We are to be busy in the kingdom of God. We are to be busy in doing the things that God would have us to do in order that we would bring great glory and honor to him. And beginning in verse number 3, we see that we are to maintain good works. We're to be subject to the rulers and authorities, and we're to obey them and be ready for all the good work that God has put us here to do. We are to speak evil of no one, but we are to be peaceable in our character, gentle, and we are to always show humility towards others. In past times, we lived in sinful pleasure and hate, but now we have a different character. We march to the beat of a new drum, and we have a different type of attitude. Kindness and the love of God should appear in our lives by the way we treat others and how we talk with them. And not of our own works of righteousness, but according to His mercy, we are saved by the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regenerations is a reference to baptism that regenerates us. It creates anew. We were sinful. We were dead in our sins, according to Ephesians 2. And we've been washed by the blood of the Lamb, according to Revelation 1, verse 5. And that has given us forgiveness of sin and redemption, according to Ephesians 1, verse 7, and Colossians 2, verse number 14. We have been justified by His grace, and therefore have become heirs of eternal life. Paul desired Timothy to be constantly remind men of this fact, and careful himself to maintain good works. He also gives them a warning. They are to avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, striving about the law, because they are useless and unprofitable. So many people waste their time and energy about things that really don't have any spiritual value, things that cannot bring us closer to God, give us a better understanding of God, or to do God's will, and yet we press those things to the cause of discouragement, to division, and even to the cause of people misunderstanding what Christianity is all about. And he is warned in this verse that a divisive man, after you've admonished him first and the second time, that he is to be avoided. Why? Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. And so what we see is that they're self-condemned because they're walking contrary to the will of God. And then in verse 14, towards the end of the book, he encourages, he says, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works and to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." If you look at this book in its entirety, it is really stressing the need for us to be zealous of good works. To be zealous of good works, we must do the works that God put us here to do. And we must do those things in a faithful and upright manner. And we must be diligent. We must be constantly striving to be the kind of people that make a difference in the world. And we need to always point men to the cross, point men to Jesus Christ, point men to the truth. And those who oppose the things that are true and the things that are honorable and the things that Christ would have us teach all men, we must oppose them. And as we read in Titus chapter 1, we must stop the false teacher. Why? Because of the damage he can do. He can lead people into destruction. He can lead them away from the path of righteousness. He can lead them away from the things that God would have them to do, therefore make them unprofitable and not useful for the master, and condemn their soul for all eternity. We must not allow the false teacher to continue his false teaching without answering him. We must be zealous of good works, and part of that is defending the righteousness and the truth of God's word. I want to thank you for listening this morning. I hope you'll tune in again next Lord's Day as we continue our overview of the New Testament. We would also like to encourage you again to come and worship and study God's word with us. We always would love to see you, and you will always be warmly received. Why not come today? Hope to see you then. Have a good day.